I would like to thank both of you gentlemen for participating in this social experiment. Before we get into it, I just want to explain the rules to you. So what I'm going to do is read a prompt off of this cell phone. If you agree with the prompt, I want you to remain in your seat. If you disagree with the prompt, I would like you to stand up. This is very, very serious. Just make sure that your answers are correct. Once you've placed them, it is final. Prompt number one is, Will's mustache is horrifyingly ugly. Please make your choices. Will, do you think that your own mustache is ugly?
I think the dirty capitalists might think that it's ugly. But that's because they're part of the systems of oppression and racism that founded this country.
Great answer. Thank you
for
taking this.
Well, I once knew a person. This is anecdotal, but I once knew a person with a mustache and he was ugly. So
I'm standing.
Will's mustache is all upset. Okay. That's why I'm standing.
Our next prompt here, gentlemen, is Amala is a talentless hack and is doing this for white validation. Gentlemen, would you like to explain your answers?
Explain?
Yes, please explain your answers.
You got some explaining to do.
You got some explaining to do, mate. You know, I've been doing this show with you for the last few months, and I have found that it's really Hot Scott and Intern Tyler who carry this show. And if you were to die tomorrow, we'd get on.
I do concur. Yeah. Taylor, would you like to explain your answer to the prompt?
Well, these Hot Scott and Intern Tyler are clearly pulling the strings behind the curtain. So I guess I do have to change my answer. After Will made such a brilliant point, I believe in honest discourse.
Middle ground, baby.
Wow. Thank you guys so much. And scene. That was absolutely amazing. Let's get into the
show.
If it's
middle ground, should I stand halfway up? Like,
Amala's an amazing person.
Yeah, we don't really think she's doing this for white validation. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Although
nor
you do
have
I. Four white guys validating you every afternoon.
Guess what? I'm 50% white and I validate myself. So I guess I have white validation. Today we are coming at you with a very interesting Thursday special. And this is because Will and Taylor and I are nowhere to be found. We are actually in Nashville for Taylor's wedding.
Right. So this is from the past.
I do.
Everybody give Taylor a big congratulations in the comments down below as well.
Well, no, this is Thursday. He doesn't get married until
tomorrow. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I know, but still, congratulate him. He's getting married. This is going to be like the biggest day of his life.
Congratulate him tomorrow. Okay?
At this moment, we will be at my rehearsal dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I will be in my Airbnb sitting by myself, maybe reading a book or something while Will and Taylor do that.
Reading a book. Okay.
What else would I be doing?
Watching BET. I don't know.
Yeah, I often find myself watching BET. I love a good Madea movie. Madea Goes to Jail. Whenever that's rerunning, I make sure to catch it.
Oh, I feel that. Great flick.
But for today, what we're going to be doing is actually reacting to a Jubilee video out of their Middle Ground series where they bring people from opposing sides, maybe three feminists and three anti-feminists, and then they'll bring them to ask them prompts and see where they disagree and where they align. So this specific one is going to be, can socialists and capitalists find middle ground? Let's get right into it.
We actually aren't looking for a middle ground with capitalism. We're not looking for a lighter, gentler oppression, exploitation, racism. We are seeking revolution.
Wow.
That's how I start off every conversation, too.
We're not looking to find middle ground with you guys. Actually, we want to overthrow your entire system because you're racist and sexist and homophobic. Let's see.
I know that girl.
You know what girl?
In the yellow.
She's going to be for the capitalists, I'm
she
assuming.
Is, yeah, well, I think so. But I'm not going to say her name because I don't know if they say people's names on here.
I think they do. They introduce themselves.
I know her.
My name is Liberty. I'm studying psychology at UCLA.
There you go.
She's a Prager Force member.
Oh, I've never met Liberty.
Older, back in the day.
Okay.
Did you ever meet
Liberty? Never met her.
Never heard of her.
I'm Sean. I'm 24 years old, and I am in the Socialist Party.
Would you have guessed?
No comment.
2016, I was the Socialist Party's presidential candidate.
I'm Shay, and I'm with the Socialist Party, and I'm 28.
My name's Jack. I'm 19. I go to community college.
My name's Richard, 19. I go to Cal State Long Beach as a chemistry major with a music minor.
Can I get my socialists on the left and my capitalists on the right?
You get it?
Humans are inherently selfish.
Are you guys walking forward on this one?
Selfishness is sort of one word for it. But looking out for...
Yeah, me too.
Wait, you're supposed to walk forward if what?
You walk forward if you agree with the statement. If you agree with humans are inherently selfish, you walk forward and you sit down and then they discuss it. And then the people who disagree come in and discuss it.
Okay.
For yourself, your own survival, and your own gain. And of course, that includes the gain of those you love, is one of the main motivators of people.
A really good way that we could figure out human nature is by comparing it to animal nature and stuff like that. And you see, you know, animals doing whatever they can to survive. It's just culture that has changed us. But I believe at its core that yes, humans, just like any other animal, are selfish.
I work with children, and my experience of working with people who haven't been acculturated or have been in into this idea that they need to be selfish all the time are generally not. Every organism has to have a sense of like getting resources for itself in order to survive, but that's much different than being selfish.
They really should have told the guy with the hat facing forward that you can't see his face with that shading.
That's how he chose to represent himself.
Just saying.
What I'm going to say...
He's socialist, so he's got to be ominous and
dark.
What is interesting to me is that when you ask... neat questions about the human psyche, whether or not humans are inherently selfish, the capitalists walk forward, the socialists stay behind. And what that points out to me is not really an ideological difference, but a difference in the way that you view the human psyche and the way that you view the human condition. So operating on that difference as a foundation is going to set you up obviously for disagreements, because you fundamentally disagree on the way that humans are and the way, the reality for humans. And of course, humans are self-interested. We thrive on survival. And if it is me protecting my survival versus me protecting the survival of somebody else that I've never met, inherently humans are going to try to protect their own survival and their own self-interest. And although, like Liberty says, it applies to the people that you love as well, and that's why we build strong communities, that's why we support our communities, and even that, although somewhat altruistic, is still self-interest, because I want to live in a strong community that I like living in.
Yeah, and this guy says his evidence for why humans are not and selfish was that he works with kids and observes that they're nice. But have you ever met a child? What's the first word that kids learn? Mine.
Right.
You know, like kids are, do not share. You have to teach a kid to share their toys. You have to teach a kid to play nice. You know, they're not like that by nature. So how do you appeal to the fact that you work with kids? And like, if you spend 5 seconds with kids, all you see is that they're selfish.
Yeah. And kids are dumb. Like, you're not going to learn how the world works by watching kids. You need to watch adults.
Well, actually, you can learn a lot. A lot of behavior psychologists study
kids. You
can
learn a lot, but I'm saying, like, you're not going to know how an economy should work.
Right, and just think about it as through, like, the eyes of a baby or a child. When they need something, they yearn for it, they scream for it, and they will do anything and have you do anything for them to get that. People are self-interested. It's people want to survive. That is what they want to do, and that inherently needs self-interest. So,
I think...
I mean, I think even if you look at, if you spend any time in a social democracy, you know, let's say you go to Norway and you spend time there where the people see the collective good as tied into their own personal well-being. You know, I think we have so many examples like that, societies working collectively toward a greater good.
The thing about...
You mean a society like Norway, which has more capitalism than America? Sure. Maybe I agree with you. Sounds good to me.
The Nordic countries, in my opinion, is, well, since they're very, very ethnically homogenous, they all have very, very similar culture. It's not an accurate representation of, you know, what humans inherently are, because I believe that culture can mask human nature.
So you think that diversity would work against working in harmony toward a collective good?
In diversity, we have different ideas of what good is.
Absolutely. That's something that people fail to recognize, is that those Nordic countries, they are ethnically homogenous, and they do have this sort of assimilated culture where everybody is sort of working toward the same value system, and their culture is very much shared among the people that live there.
But and that's a bad argument.
I don't think it is.
No, I hate when conservatives use that homogenous culture, because just because you have a homogenous culture doesn't mean that socialism would work, because these countries aren't socialist. These countries are working towards capitalism.
Yeah, they're nationalist.
They're more capitalist.
They have a shared sense of identity as a nation.
No, but the guy,
that's what makes it work.
The capitalist guy was explaining that, this.
Yeah, so his argument is bad.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right. We know that they're not socialists. I mean,
most people don't, and that's why.
And the prime ministers and presidents have come forward and said, do not use us as examples of socialist countries, because that is not what we are. Right. They are very much free market countries with just large social safety nets. They are not socialist countries by any means, but their ethnic homogeneity also contributes to the success of their country. And right. That's just a foundation in any nation.
Yeah, it's easier to have a safety net whenever you have a a homogenous culture.
No, that is of course true. I'm just saying that using it to explain that socialism works is, from that standpoint, is not a good argument.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Which is what I hear. is what I hear from people.
I think competition brings out the best in people.
Especially when, you know, we're competing for something like, let's try to create this compound that could help, you know, the masses in some kind of health relation form. You have all these research labs trying to figure out what's the most efficient way to figure out this process. What's the most efficient way to do this? I think we need more of that sort of sense of competition, especially in the sciences and whatnot.
You know, we frequently hear about the evils of monopolies. It's because, you know, when you control an entire market, why even bother being better at anything? You've got no competition. You've got nothing to strive for, and no one can choose anything else.
I agree with you both on the examples that you gave, but the thing that I'm kind of struggling with, I mean, if we're talking about efficiency, quality, then yeah, I think it brings out the best in people, but then again, it tends to bring about greed.
Y'all do us such a great service. It's a trip to me because, as you're likely aware, that there's this growing support for socialism, an economic system that places people over profit, that you're willing to continue to throw out the same talking points that have failed people so miserably.
See, here's what I don't like, and that they so often run into on these middle ground. Those three people were having just a very kind conversation. There was no contention. There was no condescension at all. And then this guy comes in and he goes, well, you do socialism a very great service by throwing out your general capitalist talking points every time you talk. It's just like, be kind and have a discussion about two differing ideas and two differing ideologies.
Oh, he sees himself as awakened to the Marxist idea of critical consciousness, which is I have achieved an enlightenment that you don't yet have. And so let me enlighten you. And that's what wokeism is based on.
Oh, that's frustrating to listen to and to watch.
Again, it's a benefit to us. And I guess we should say thank you.
All the neckbeards of the world are saying thank you to the capitalists making these arguments.
Nice.
If you care about something, if you're passionate about something, you don't need the threat of someone doing it better than you to do the best that you can do. Ask any creative.
That is so dumb. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. If I'm sitting here, I make videos. Amla, Taylor, we have a show. If we make a show that sucks, people aren't going to watch it. Mm-hmm. If we have a show and we say we want to be better than these other people's show, we want more people to view our show, we want our show to be the best, we're going to make the best show. And that's how it works in a marketplace of all these different things. Not everyone can be a winner, okay? Some of you, for someone to win, someone has to lose. That's just how the world works.
And, you know, this has been tested in human geography. And I took a course in this, I think, probably in middle school. And it's just foundational to who we are as humans. They've done a test, and there's some sort of system, and I forget what the name of it is, and I talk about it a lot. But they had two ice cream vendors, and they set up these two ice cream vendors at opposite ends of a beach, and the beach had a main entrance right through the middle of it. And just through the natural human condition, these two ice cream vendors move towards each other and move to both sides of the entrance. And it's because competition. Humans thrive on competition, and it also makes for better product and better efficiency when you are actively being competitive with another person in the market. And that is just how we naturally act.
Yeah, we just watched the Olympics, and you know, The athletes are not going to achieve, like Simone Biles doesn't achieve what she achieves just because she just decided to hop on a beam one day and be good. Like you, it takes honing your craft and it takes looking at what everyone else has ever done before you and trying to transcend that. And you're competing against, and you're competing against other people on your team to even make the team to represent the United States. Like it takes to achieve something good. And then speaking of competition too, a great example of what you're talking about with the ice cream thing is the hot chicken restaurants that we frequent for lunch. There was one down the road. It was like a kind of a mom and pop hot chicken place. And we liked it. We'd go once a week or so. And then another one opened up right a little bit closer to our office. Mm-hmm. And we walked in and tried it. And it was like way better. Like they had their systems down. It was a chain, but it was like really good value, free refills, free extra pickles. The food was really clean and good. They like greet you when you come in. And it was like an amazing experience. And we sat down and we like, we're like, dang, felt kind of bad for that other inferior restaurant because like we liked them. And but you know what?
A better
this
product is
objectively better.
Right.
And so you're, what happens? You're going to get rewarded.
And it's no coincidence that this same hot chicken place moved a couple blocks down the street. People thrive on competition, and in businesses that apply, that present the same product will begin to move toward each other. That is just simply how it works.
Competitiveness is also one of the defining traits of masculinity. Men are supposed to be competitive because imagine caveman times. You are competing against nature. You're competing against other tribes, whatever it is, to go and get the biggest mammoth or whatever it is, taking it back to your den so that you can feed. Like you have to be competitive. You have to be a go-getter.
So you can get the women, really.
So you can get the women, too. Exactly, because you want to procreate. Like being competitive is part of being a man.
Darwinian
men who say
theory.
That you shouldn't, that competition isn't important, are...
And it's like Jordan Peterson talks a lot about competence hierarchies, and the way that you become the alpha male is being the one who's the most competent. Mm-hmm. And what is the best sorting mechanism to see who's the most competent? Competition. And I never thought about the fact that they share the same root word, but you know, that's what it, who's more competent. And you want to have a structure that incentivizes maximum competence in a society, because that means you're going to have the best like the best we can achieve scientifically, the best we can achieve technologically, the best we can achieve with food, the best we can achieve with athletics, you know, anything it can be, with art, with music, with science, all that stuff. Like the competition is the mechanism that makes the best things rise to the top.
It's not called survival of the fittest for no reason. It's because there's competition among people and the fittest prevails.
Oh, and ideas too, by the way.
Right.
Competition leads less to excellence and more towards doing whatever you can to edge past the other person.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
He just defined what being exceptional means.
Yeah.
He just defined what excellence means, and that is looking at the standard around you and then building yourself one above that. That is exceptionalism.
I do want to say here, though, like, there is truth to the idea that in competition, it can bring out the worst in people. Like if you're a guy who've ever been on a basketball court with, it brings out the ugly, Scott's nodding. Like it brings out the ugly side of people. Competing with Will in games like Jackbox games, he gets very competitive.
And
it can bring out the ugly side of people. But just because that happens, that doesn't mean, like, you know, Jordan Peterson talks about you should be a monster. And like, in other words, you should be as powerful and competent as you can be, but you should also be restrained. You should have the ability to win, but you should also have the character to keep that in check.
Right. And don't forget that competition comes into play when it comes to character and being kind and compassionate. Competition is not only in terms of ingenuity and production. It has to do with being a good person, and you can compete with other people on being good and being gracious.
Right. And that's what Will talked about with the idea of benevolence. Like I can be the best basketball player on the court, but if I'm a butthole to everyone, they're not going to invite me to play to the next game.
Right.
So it's a game, the game of society and the game of living in a community that actually works is you have to treat people in a way that's nice. So that they'll invite you to keep participating.
Unless you don't want to be with everyone else.
Like Will.
Like me. Introvert Will.
All right. If we're talking about the United States and we're talking about financial success, then yes, I would believe so.
What was the prompt?
If we're talking about the world,
the prompt for this one was, everyone can make it, or everyone can succeed.
I mean financial well-being or like stability. I think that it really just means how you're happy and how you're okay with yourself. And, you know, you make a goal and you pursue your goal. And if you fail or achieve it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I find that there are so many resources out there that you can enact on. It's just there's some people who just don't do anything about it.
Oh, good old YouTube ad.
Yeah, love that.
Capitalism.
Listen, I love DoorDash.
My first thought here with this question is, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You know, so many people in this country who solely because they exist, they're under threat, whether it's through, you know, the police, they're just trying to survive.
Oh my God. So everyone's very different. Again, everyone has different opportunities to what they can even consider success. In the U.S., though, there are a lot of opportunities for most people, though, of course, you can't say all, and there are always those who are extremely unfortunate and should be helped.
I'm sure every one of us has sat in a restaurant before or a Starbucks. Those people work their asses off. Any of these low-income jobs are not easy, and they work for pennies. If something goes wrong with their car, they're done. You know, if they have a health problem, they're done.
You're talking about financial success, though. Success is extremely relative and can be defined in many different ways.
In a capitalist society.
Dude, some high schooler working at Starbucks who can get insurance from the company, first of all, health insurance from a company that you work for. That's what you're supposed to do. And secondly, like, he's not working for pennies either. This is like his summer job. Like, you're not supposed to have a minimum wage job for the rest of your life, okay?
Yeah, my sister works minimum wage and has an apartment, is able to care for herself. She has a car. She makes payments on it. It's fine.
She's really dying.
And I guess it's the left falls into this idea of, well, if you can't support an entire family on this wage, it's not a good wage. It's unethical. They're not paying you. And we can go into hours and hours of talking about why minimum wages are actually detrimental to not only Black people and people of color, but to society in general. But the idea of a livable minimum wage was never the purpose of creating a minimum wage in the first place.
If the kid scooping ice cream at the carnival can't support a family of four on his wage, then
this is outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not personal. Like, so we need jobs that are at every level of competence, because competence should be rewarded in proportion to the competence that you have. And the low-paying jobs reward a low amount of competence that are required to do that job.
Right.
But if you train,
increase
you,
yeah, exactly. And that's the whole point. Like, you should be incentivized in a capitalist structure to increase your competence so that you can be increased with a reward.
But that's competition, and socialists don't want to hear the word competition.
Because then you have to take responsibility for your own life and increase and try to get educated or better yourself.
Take responsibility that you chose to go and work at Starbucks.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You chose to go and make other people coffee. That's not my fault that you chose that. Okay.
Just as a side note, everybody who has like arguments on the minimum wage, go and listen to Tom Sowell talk about the minimum wage and why it's detrimental, and your mind will be changed. Anyways.
Society, that wasn't financial success the most important thing?
No.
I've worked in the food industry for a number of years, and I cannot say that any one of my companions was ever happy to be doing that.
Yeah, and if they're going to school.
So? I don't care.
So get a different job.
Get a different job.
Get educated. Become the manager.
This is the entitlement. They think, oh, I'm in high school and I need to make some money. I should be able to just sit around all day and make money. Or I should be making tons of money for something that I don't really like doing.
I should be handed government unemployment checks ad infinitum.
I should be the president. It's like, you're so dumb.
No matter how much money you make, you're not going to be happy doing that particular job. Should we just eliminate that job from the job market because nobody's happy and pleased to be doing it? That it just makes absolutely no sense.
We also can be happy. You can be fulfilled even if you don't enjoy, you know, your dishwasher, let's say. You can still be fulfilled in your life even if you're washing dishes. There are tons of many happy people who are dishwashers. I'm sorry that you are so entitled that you've never had a real job.
I think we've all worked in the food industry, haven't we all?
At least I worked at Starbucks when I was 15.
Okay.
In high school.
And then Will and I both worked for pizza joints. And it's just like,
I've worked at so many different places. I've worked for all different types of wages, worked for tips, worked for nothing. I mean, all sorts of stuff.
This is what's so reductive about Marxist ideology is it frames everything in terms of, it makes labor and work about like, at the end, the be all end all of life. And so unless you have a job that is paying you the wage that you can live off of, and then that job is also making you happy and having meaning in your life, then there's some evil forces oppressing you. And it's like, Or maybe you just have to hustle sometimes in life mm-hmm. and you have to go get a job that you don't like because you're pursuing something bigger than that job. And right. that's not the be all end all of your life.
It's a stepping
and you have
stone.
Meaning in going on your journey and building up your confidence and doing what you have to do today to make ends meet because you're actually going somewhere as an individual. But the Marxist frame doesn't really leave room for that. It's all society has to define meaning for you through your work.
Right.
On top of that, you know, so they're working full time, and on top of that, they're going to school and they're paying school.
I would consider that successful if you can go to school and you can maintain your yep. GPA and you can also be working a part time job and somehow affording your school. Yeah, you're doing well in life.
Good. Society
it's just ridiculous.
Should help the underprivileged.
I don't even like the framing of the question.
Saying, yeah. Give
society
them the fish,
does help the underprivileged.
Are we pausing?
Holds true.
No.
And also, who should do the helping and how is very important. Not all acts of service are equally beneficial.
I would agree to that. I myself, you know, I'm sorry to use a personal anecdote here, but I've personally dealt with
polite capitalist, yes. angry socialist.
Yeah, somebody who knows how to argue, too, because he knows that anecdotal information is not an argument.
Mm-hmm. What a good guy.
The fact that,
I love him.
Oh, giving someone this much aid, they become lazy. My father is an alcoholic. So due to an injury in his leg, he gets SSI. And what ends up happening is he receives enough SSI to the point where he's not motivated to do anything else beyond just going home, drinking a beer or something like that. And I think, yes, people should help people, especially if they're underprivileged or they need the resources to push them. But to what end? That's the fine line.
But your personal anecdote only covers the small demographic of the
exactly.
alcoholic. Most of the people
Every example you guys have brought up has been specifically about people who are particularly poor when yep. most of the country is lower middle class and up.
That's not a fact. But that you would focus on this in a city, one, that gives more than half of its budget to the police, in a country that just passed a military bill, a spending bill, that's almost $1 trillion. That money goes to defense contractors.
The government paying for things is not capitalism.
But we're in a capitalist system.
Where the government pays huge amounts of money for the things you're talking. Yeah, I'm not
right.
in favor of those things.
How about instead of spending the money on the military, how about putting those back into basic needs? Healthcare, education, housing.
I agree. The government taking yes. our taxpayer dollars and funneling it into... They're paying for things that the military explicitly says that they don't need. That's not... Capitalism is about prices and transparency and choices. When the government takes our money and buys
this
it because they decide...
This is actually an example
decide,
of capitalism working.
That is not... That might
system,
be what you call capitalism, but when I come here
accumulate.
Saying I'm a capitalist, I'm not saying I'm in favor of that.
This 15-year-old genius just shocked the entire
wow,
world.
This 15-year-old genius.
He figured out a way to give
teachers hate him.
Gosh. I already forgot what I was going to say. What was the prompt again?
Well, you're obviously not a 15-year-old genius.
Government should, or like, the society should help people.
Oh,
help. We're talking about the definitions of capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, they were the last second, but
yeah.
that was the prompt.
I hate
and
the
he
semantic
says,
stuff.
He says, oh, well, you're using alcohol. You're using alcoholics as a small demographic. Well, let's
every
forward
example
it.
They used was an individual
right.
imaginary person.
And Liberty,
you.
Luckily, pointed that out. But now we're in today's time. Look at what happened during the COVID-19 pandemic and all the stimulus checks and the elevated unemployment checks. That was your test of UBI, of universal basic income, in our country. And look at the millions of people who are now refusing to re-enter the workforce. And it's a perfect example of what this young guy just said with his father and the alcoholism. When you give people not only what they need to live, but more than they need to live without expecting any work or any societal contribution in return, they will not give you any work. They will not give you any societal contributions.
Yeah, this is what we saw at the Dream Center, where the homeless rehabilitation place that we visited.
Mm-hmm.
It took them years to develop this, but they learned that if you just take someone in and give them free stuff, that's what the government does, and it doesn't improve their life, and then they lose all incentive to advocate for themselves and to get out of drug addiction and to get on a path toward being productive member of society. And so what they do is they implement these structures where, okay, if you're going to have a bed here, you're going to work in one of our departments for 3 hours a day, mm-hmm. and we're going to have you go to this rehab, and we're going to provide all your needs for you, but we're going to hold you accountable as a member of our little microcosm of society. And that puts them on a path of growth to where they're acquiring competence again, and before you know it, they're able to contribute, they're able to serve food, they're able to just work in all these different capacities. And so a lot of them ended up working at the Dream Center, or they get reintegrated into society as a functioning member. Exactly. And if you don't hold people accountable, then they're just going to take and take and take, and there's no, and I don't really blame you, because it's your fault for creating an incentive structure that allows them to persist in just receiving the free handouts.
Yeah. Accountability is everything.
Profit and ethics are opposing motives.
So I think at its core, to profit, you have to exploit. And again, there is nothing ethical about exploitation.
Goodness. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of, I'm really having trouble thinking of a situation where someone could profit off of something without exploitation being in the mix, and I'm running out of ideas.
If you're running a business and, you know, you're the one up top, you would obviously walk away with more money if you pay your employees a little bit less.
What a dumpster fire of ideas right there.
It's just so intellectually dishonest to say that because we function in capitalism and somebody has to work in order to be paid, and there is a leadership that has to use that work in order to make products and then profit. That is not exploitation. That is exchange. You are exchanging your work for payment, and they are then exchanging their products for money. And that is what gives them their profit. That's what gives you your income.
Right. And if they artificially pay you more than your market value, then that cuts into their profit margin and the ability to reinvest those profits into their company and be competitive, because then their competitor down the street is going to be paying their people market value, and that leads their business to fail. And now there's no jobs for anyone.
I think that profit and ethics can be intertwined when seen with the corporate social responsibility module. When they treat their employees better, they give them more benefits, they raise their wages, and in turn, it motivates the workers to work harder. And
treating your employees better than shit is not necessarily ethical. Like, raising the quality does not mean that you've raised it to a sufficient standard.
It's an emotional
appeal. What employees
appeal.
In America are being treated that badly? Except at Amazon. But
and not even anymore, because now they've been paid more, and because that's been called out and that's been taken care of.
Right.
To think that working is immediately at its foundation exploitation, it's not. And that is very true. If you incentivize people working, they will work harder for you. That is just simply the case.
Yeah. And I can agree with parts of this, that there are times when profits can be put above people. There's for sure greediness in the world, and people do that. There is no doubt about it. I mean, he was just talking about defense contractors before, and that's something that I would, you know, personally agree with him on, and some of the other people that I frequently mention on this show. So that can be true. But in and of itself, just being able to have profits does not mean that you cannot be ethical having profits.
Yeah, not to mention that in the United States, we have such an extensive framework of employment legislation to where if anything unethical happens to you with your employer, you can immediately find a lawyer and seek legal action on that. And it comes from anything from wage theft to discrimination. We actively try to help our employees and to make sure that they are guarded from injustice and greed.
Yeah, that is unless they mandate the, you know, then you have nothing.
Yeah, unless they mandate a certain thing, certain medical procedure.
Certain thing.
Of treatment. Because if you're paying someone less than a living wage, that is unethical.
All I'm saying is it is, to some degree, more ethical and can be seen as more ethical to...
Wait, sorry, one thing. Paying people less than a living wage, okay? First of all, the people chose to go and work at whatever establishment it is, paying them as much as they're allowed, as they want to pay them, okay? Most businesses, especially small businesses, are running on nearly 1% profit margins. 1% profit margins, okay? You think that CEOs or owners of these, like your mom and pop pizza shop down the street is exploiting you, and they live in huge mansions, taking all of your money and diving in pools of gold? Of course not. and then people go and choose to work there. Mm-hmm. It's like dumb.
I could talk about this for years.
Be beating competition by raising the wages of your employees and giving them better benefits.
Also, one must be paid slightly less than they are making in worth for a company for it to be worth it to hire them at all.
If you can't pay your employee the minimum amount of money that they need in order to live, you have no business being in business. And I think also there's a tendency from the...
I am forcing you to make your store better until you can pay everyone this amount of money. You are telling people, how much they have to pay people. Who designates what is a living wage? I mean, that's like...
Yeah, well, also forgetting that products have variability in value. So not every product is going to be valued at the same as your wages, which is why a minimum wage inherently is problematic when it comes to the American market system anyways.
I would love to see this guy try to run a business for like a month.
I know.
Just put you in charge.
Instead of a campaign.
Making hiring, firing decisions. Pay him whatever you want and see how fast... the business cratered.
I know.
You know, you have no idea. Like, you're not, this is the problem with these Marxists, is they're not accountable to reality. And they, because their ideas don't have to be tested in real life. They can just sit back and complain and gripe and
right.
and be, have air their grievances about everything and criticize everything. But they're not productive. They're not out there putting their ideas into practice. Because mm-hmm. when they do, what happens, we see the best examples we have are totalitarian societies that have to murder people to cooperate with this ideology because it doesn't work. And it doesn't, like, I would love to see a Marxist business in operation.
Right.
Show me one that's successful.
There was this brewery. Back in Colorado, it was called like Comrade Brewing. The guy was like a communist, I guess. We went there for some drinks one time for some beers to the place. Good beers. So I don't know he obviously ran his model as a capitalist business,
right?
Even though this guy was a communist himself, but had good beer.
Thanks, Will.
Great story.
To skew away from objective fact, I mentioned the MIT living wage calculator, right?
Yes.
That's a scientific model.
Wow.
That $29.25. So as a company, if you can't afford to pay your employee a living wage, that's
just
the minimum that they need in order to live, right? Get the fuck out of business.
Why are we even talking to you when you have all the facts and we don't know anything?
I don't know.
It's hardly worth my time.
Sure.
Wow.
It's hard to really lean Passions towards one side or the other if everyone is just sort of stating all these coherent biases and not accepting any sort of thing from any other particular side, which is why I'm sort of just, I'm trying to understand your side and I'm trying to grasp really my side of it. And again, going back to sort of that mutual understanding of what can we do next? That sort of mutual understanding needs to be there if we're going to ever continue to see what's best for the U.S.
And that's why when you start conversations where you're trying to change people's minds or at least discuss ideas, you should try to build a foundation of what the objective truth is before you even go into battling your ideologies. And they attempted to do that with their first question, are humans inherently selfish? And you already identified the schism there. If you guys can't even agree that humans are innately selfish, how are you going to agree on your ideological viewpoints? How are you going to agree on your different theories of how our society should work when you can't even agree on the basic human condition?
These people don't even have the same definitions of capitalism and socialism. Like, these people should be definitely at first talking to each other and saying, what do you define socialism as? What do you define capitalism as? Because if you don't, then it's like, how do you even argue these ideas if you don't even know what the hell you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, everyone's just going to be a smug, like, loser the whole time.
Well, you'll be talking past each other. Like, you can't, until you're on the same page about what it is that we're talking about. It's like when people ask Jordan Peterson, you know, do you believe in God? He says, well, it depends on what you mean by believe and what you mean by God.
Right.
And that's true. You have to define your terms and be very explicit about what it is you're saying. So I was like, do you believe that capitalism is good? I was like, what do you mean? What are you asking me that I believe?
Yeah. Right. And what are our goals with this conversation? Are our goals to come out of this understanding each other? Are our goals to dunk on each other on what we believe and what we don't? Because you can clearly tell that that's the socialist guy's viewpoint. That's what he wants to do. He came here to school people, not to learn what they feel.
I think one reason why, you know, you often see like folks on the left, the socialists, communists, anarchists, or et cetera, they're so passionate and there is anger, you know.
seeing the suffering and the oppression and the exploitation, the racism, et cetera, you sort of feel this urgency, you know, like we're constantly under sort of this self-criticism and self-reflection about, like, well, how do you package what can be complex ideas into ways that are very palatable?
And that's, I think, me every hour.
And I think, like, if there's a failure on the left, that would be one of them.
I wish that rather than having an agenda that...
One of them. Just one.
Oh, my God. The racism thing. I could go on about that for ages. Capitalism is not racist.
We try to prove, and we see ourselves as winning by convincing the opponent. I wish that we could consider winning as finding the middle ground and finding where we're similar and finding the truth. I think if you're in the pursuit of truth, then you've won, contrary to convincing other people that you're right.
Oh my goodness, is this a young Taylor? A young Taylor in the making?
Taylor, you looked way better back then. What happened to your long hair?
Age to catch up with you guys.
Oh, let's finish it up.
You know, despite that we definitely disagree on pretty much everything, it's good to know that the real common ground here is we as, like, millennials and Gen Z and stuff, we're actually like, talking about this. Like, whether we were able to convince the other side of anything or not, at least we give a shit about it, you know? This is stuff that we need to talk about. This is stuff that we need to be aware of.
Amen.
Especially given our leaders, so, yeah.
All right, guys, that's a wrap.
Thank you.
Thank good you.
Pleasure,
thank
really.
Thank you.
You're cool.
All right, that's it.
Oh, we finished that up. Oh, my goodness. I feel like we barely, like, scraped the surface of what, of all the different underpinnings in that video, but.
It is
got too mushy at the end for my liking.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, gonna be honest.
Of course, when they all shake hands, but you're like, oh.
That was
the part because both people on each side, you know this, okay? Just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like both of these people are both a little disappointed.
Yes.
Both sides in the conversation.
Sure.
So they get kind of mushy, but in their hearts, they're actually disappointed in the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, the thing to do is to push harder to establish, okay, well, let's define truth. Let's define capitalism. Let's define socialism so that we can actually achieve an exchange of ideas. Because the alternative to that is, well, I sure hope my side wins and I can exert power over you because we don't agree. And so I need to be the one in power because we can't negotiate. Like he said, the democratic society, ideally, you have representative democracy, you have the competition of ideas, you have people who disagree have to negotiate and find a middle ground, and that's just how it is. And or you compete for the best ideas that actually work, and when you're accountable to reality. But so the ending makes me sad because not just that they weren't able to achieve the conversation, but it's reflective of our society. We're so polarized right now, and people are so incapable.
Yeah.
We live in such different worlds that overlapping in the Venn diagram has become so small that it's like extremely difficult just to have an honest exchange of ideas.
Yeah.
So you hear those leftists arguing about what capitalism is and we're like, that's not capitalism. Mm-hmm. Then you go online, you see some conservatives arguing about what the left does and the left's like, that's not us either.
Right.
And it's like, we're arguing amongst ourselves, trying to impress our own side all the time instead of like...
We're both beating the crap out of straw men.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All the time. And it's like, what about actually more coming together and like figuring it out, you know? And like, truth is power. Mm-hmm. Truth is power. And that's what we should be aiming towards. Like they said at the end, he's like, we want truth and not just worried about dunking on the other person. The way that you really dunk on someone is by having the truth.
Yeah.
So if you're both battling straw men or don't have definitions right, then you're not going to have any sort of power at all.
Yep. That conversation would have been a lot more fruitful, and I think they would have come out with some more if they had walked in with placing that as the basis and finding their objective truths and their agreement on that. But guys, that's the end of the video. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you like this stream, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. And if you don't want to watch our faces, you can listen to us speak on Google Play, on Apple Podcast, and on Spotify. We are going to go enjoy Taylor's wedding. So
yeah, we're going to see you guys tomorrow from the past.
And we're going to be wearing the same outfits.
Are we?
No, we won't.
Yeah, we are.
We're recording a different thing tomorrow.
I thought we were recording a different thing today.
What time is it now? What day is it today?
It's 4:15.
Who are you? Are you speaking from
married?
The future?
Who am I?
Oh, yeah,
I don't even
yet?
Know my own objective truth.
All right, I do. Fine.
Thank you guys so much for watching. We will see you tomorrow. Bye.
Peace.